Cassie McCullough with you this morning for Life Matters, and now for, well, an insight into something we all know very well. And that's how a night out on the terps can start out as fun, a kind of giddy release from the day's work. A few laughs, a few stupid conversations. But of course, we all know how easily one of those nights can end up very differently. Brawls, king hits, accidents, suicide. In Australia, each week, one person aged between 16 and 25 dies, and about 60 people in that same age group are hospitalised because of an alcohol-related incident. They're statistics that Elspeth Muir writes about in her new book, Wasted, an account of the death of her brother Alexander in 2009. He jumped when drunk from Brisbane's Story Bridge. He'd just turned 21 and had gone out drinking, having completed his uni exams. Elspeth wrote the book to help her understand why her brother died as he did, and found herself facing some truths about our drinking culture. And she joins us from our Brisbane studios. Elspeth, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks, Cassie.
Tell us about your brother, Alexander. What was he like?
Alexander was very sweet and funny, and he was an amazing listener. He was different from my brother and I, who were, I think, louder and rambunctious and demanded more attention. And Alexander was more in the background, and he did things quietly, and he was thoughtful. Yeah.
And he was studying.
He was studying engineering when he died. And it took him a little while to come around to that. He had a year off. And he never did particularly well at school, but it was always clear that he was very intelligent. And he just started studying the year that he died.
So he'd just turned 21, but back on his 20th birthday, you'd rung him to say happy birthday, rung several times actually before you got through. Why was it that he didn't pick up?
Yeah, so on his 20th birthday, I called to say happy birthday, and when I eventually got through, he told me that he would call me back. And then he called me back later in the day, and I said, Alexander, what happened? And he said that he had been asleep under the mangroves next to the river. And the phone calls that he had received for his birthday, he thought were his alarm clock, and he'd been ignoring them. And when he finally woke up, he walked down to the Storybridge Hotel, and he knew the bartender there, and the bartender gave him a free beer. And at the time, I thought the story was hilarious, but in hindsight, it was part of a pattern of behaviour that led ultimately to his death. And I think that we didn't engage with what he was doing in a way that I think that we always dismissed what his drunken activities as funny. And until he ultimately died, and then you see everything in a much different light.
Well, it's such common behaviour. You see it everywhere.
Yeah.
You write very beautifully, Elspeth, I must tell you that.
Thank you.
You write about when you think back on that time where he was asleep beside the river in the mud of the mangroves, and you say this: when I'm maudlin, I imagine that the long, dirty, licking river, which coils like a snake on hot sand through the fatty suburbs, tasted my brother that morning, but was thwarted before it could suck him right in. It waited a year, watching, flicking its sunlit scales, laying open the promise of soft depths on dark evenings. And then, early one morning, his curiosity drove him close again and it ate him. You then say also that when you're not maudlin, you know that it wasn't the river snake that killed your brother.
my brother died because he was very drunk.
How did he get there? How did he get to the Story Bridge that second time?
So it was a the evening after his last exam, and he had some money, which was unusual for him. I think he might have been working. And he and his friends went out to celebrate their final exam. And his friend Kieran offered to drive him home at 9:30. And he said that he didn't want to go, and he go home, and he went to another pub and met some new friends, which was what Alexander did. And he stayed out with them, I think, until about 1 a.m. And when they left, the friends he made offered to put him in a cab and take him home, but he said he would be okay. And instead, he went to the Story Bridge, and he took off his shirt and his thongs, and he took his wallet and phone out of his pockets, and he jumped off, and that's how he got there. And at the time, his blood alcohol level was 0.238, and I guess, of course, you speculate about whether it's suicide. The Story Bridge is a notorious suicide bridge. There are now safety barriers along it, but at the time there weren't. And there are lifeline signs along it the whole way saying, and phones saying call if you're in trouble. Mm. But I think looking at his behavior, that he just was doing extreme daring things when he was drunk, and really it's a strong feeling in my family and among his friends that he didn't commit suicide, that he just was lacking around and he made a big mistake.
A bad decision.
Yeah.
And you'd have to think that with that kind of blood alcohol level, which would be what, sort of 10 big beers or more,
yeah,
that how can anyone really say that a conscious decision was being made? I mean, that's sort of at the top end of being conscious. So, yeah.
Definitely.
So this pattern of behaviour, I mean, and we all know it so well, don't we? Like, just as you say, larking around, it's such a great expression for it. And it was something that you and Alexander and Patrick, your other brother, the middle brother, were kind, yeah, of legendary for. Like, you sound like a really good, fun bunch.
I think so at times. Part of the research that I did into the book and was to really look back at my own drinking behavior, and it occurred to me, and it was something I had been thinking about before Alexander died, but it occurred to me that a lot of the things that I regretted I had done when I was extremely drunk, and I think I'm a bad drunk. I black out and I become very angry, and I fought a lot with friends and people that loved me. I was very cruel to, and I don't think that's everybody's behavior. I just suspect that's my physiology and what alcohol draws out in me.
Mm, but you say when you've been overseas that this kind of behavior that we're kind of accustomed to in Australia is odd to foreign eyes. You recount I think it's in Sweden, where you'd left an umbrella behind at a bar.
Sure, yeah. I'd left an umbrella behind at a bar, and I went back to get it, and I was very irascible. I was very drunk, and I was smashing on the glass door to try and get it back. And I just remember the bartenders were looking at me with complete and utter disdain. It occurred to me that probably wouldn't have happened in Australia. I mean, perhaps it would have, but it was an experience that I hadn't had before, that this contempt, like utter contempt for my drunken state. And I think that it was something I also, shortly after Alexander died, I'd planned to go to Argentina, and I continued with the trip. And over there, I really started to think about my drinking behavior, partly because I was by myself, and it was dangerous for me to be drunk and walking the streets. I was living in a fairly it was a touristy area, but also it was renowned for being slightly dodgy. And partly because people over there just didn't drink the same way that people in Australia did. It was something that was frowned upon. It was embarrassing.
Mm. On Life Matters, we're talking with Elspeth Muir. She's written a book called Wasted, a story of alcohol, grief and a death in Brisbane. And that death is of her younger brother, Alexander, who in 2009, after a night out in a kind of, spontaneous act, jumped off the Story Bridge and drowned, it turns out, from being pretty drunk in the water. Elspeth, you've gone back through in this book and looked at every kind of way that alcohol entered your experience and your family's experience, and you very openly say that you were looking for something to blame and someone to blame, and of course, ultimately, there is no real place to blame.
Yeah, I think that's a really natural reaction after someone dies. You're so hurt and angry that you want something to direct your hurt and anger at. And I tried everyone. So I was really furious at my parents, unfairly furious. And I think that I couldn't, for a while, I couldn't be around my dad without becoming extremely angry, and until some people in the family were like, you have to stop that. That's really unfair. And it was. And then I looked at my own behavior and the way it may have influenced my brothers. And I have to say, my parents weren't big drinkers. And they always talk to us about drinking. My brothers and I were entrepreneurial in our drinking, I would say.
In fact, you say that your dad is a terrible drinker because he really can't hold much more than a couple of glasses. So, yeah.
No, that's probably where we got our physiology from. And then I looked at the, I guess I looked at the culture and the way in which it shapes us. I looked at his friends and, but I think Alexander was ultimately, I mean, he made the decision, he jumped off the bridge, but I really wanted in writing this book to start a conversation about the way in which we drink and what we can do about it. And I still love drinking it. I'm shy, and it really helps me in many ways to get through social situations. But I suppose when I was younger, the dangers of drugs were emphasized much more over the dangers of drinking. And it was sort of this benign substance that wasn't talked about in terms of it was just something that we consumed and didn't think about.
The devil so well.
Exactly.
Mm. You also sort of backtracked with other brother Patrick and talked with him about it. And he'd actually sort of had similar nights where, I think when he was 21, he was actually arrested and woke up in the watch house with no idea of how he'd, got there or what had happened or anything at all.
Sure.
And then he says something to you that's so insightful, isn't it? He says, when we talk about it, I think, he says, I do have a problem, but I've never really looked at it like that, because if I have a problem, then every single person who I hang out with has the same problem. It's just the lifestyle that we live.
Yeah, it was a very insightful comment. And I think that was partially why we missed many of the signifiers that Alexander's drinking was getting out of control. And I think that is a problem in Australia, in that some sections of the Australian community, and I think the mainstream Australian community, doesn't look critically enough at our drinking behaviour, or when we critically look at our drinking behaviour, we really pick out individuals as being culprits. And then when we look at other communities in Australia, we blame the entire community for having a problem. And there's never a holistic view of our drinking culture. And because of that, there are never holistic changes, I think. So for instance, when the 2014, there was a one punch killing in 2014. And shortly after that, the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Nigel Scullion, announced that there would be a look into the drinking culture and behaviour. And then the next day he said that they would be looking at Indigenous communities only. And I was like, well, how does that work? Like, how can somebody be killed in King's Cross and then a look into the drinking culture happens in Indigenous communities? Like, why aren't we looking at everybody? And I really thought that was a problem when I was researching this book.
It's something that we kind of like to think of as somebody else's problem rather than our own. Yeah.
I think that many people have said you were extremely hard on yourself when you wrote this book, but I think that it's something perhaps that we need to do, is really examine deeply our psyche and culture.
Yeah. Well, this is something that you have certainly done. Just finally, Elspeth, you don't fully feel that lockout laws are the right way to go, even though you think that's a whole debate that you sort of don't want to get into, but you don't also think it's the answer. Why?
It's a debate I don't want to get into because I have friends in the music industry and friends who work in pubs. And what I think is that lockout laws target small businesses. And so what we're seeing in Sydney at the moment is a lot of small businesses are closing down. On the other hand, they do cut down on violence. And I think that the emergency department, that in St. Vincent's they're noticing a difference in the emergency department. I think the lockout laws, I mean, they don't include the casino.
Yeah, so like a piecemeal approach to a much larger and much deeper problem.
Yeah.
And a problem that you have explored and so beautifully, I must tell you, you really
have
written
much.
Such a beautiful book. And
thank you.
And I think you've made us all, given us an opportunity to stop and have a look at what's going on around us. Thanks very much for talking with us this morning, Elspeth. I know it's been difficult for you.
Thanks very much, Cassie. It was fine. Thank you.
Elspeth Muir. The book is called Wasted, A Story of Alcohol, Grief and a Death in Brisbane. It is powerful, but a book that I think that a lot of people will feel a lot of resonance for themselves in. Cassie McCullough with you on Life Matters.